Hello, everyone. I hope that you are doing well and that wherever you live, the weather has been as beautiful as it has been here in Northeast Ohio. We have been outside a ton, and I'm not going to lie, I'm having some issues wanting to work inside because I just want to be out in the garden. And I would say, sorry, my dog is in the background, very itchy apparently. Maybe it's allergy season for her. But I just want to talk about a couple things that I have learned this year that honestly made me feel kind of dumb because I don't feel like I'm a beginner gardener. I've had gardens before, but very small because we have always lived, since I've been married, in rental homes as we were a military family. So now that we have our own home, I am really getting to it. Luckily, though, I did spend that time while we were not in our forever home learning as much as I could. So watching videos, reading books, trying my own raised bed garden that was not in the most ideal conditions because our backyard was pretty shady, but I did what I could. I learned what I could, and I really encourage you to do the same. Even if you're not in your forever home, learning now is absolutely crucial because even though I've done this for a couple years now, there are a lot of things that I learned this year that I feel like no one talks about. No one tells you these things about gardening, or maybe they do and I'm just stupid. But maybe some of these things will spark something in you. Maybe you didn't know these as well. So I just wanted to share about what I've learned this year.
Welcome to the Homestead Challenge podcast, where we will finally figure out how to make homesteading work in this modern world. I'm your host, Brittany, kind of crunchy mom and fellow modern homesteader. I've walked the path you're on, navigating burnout, overwhelm, information overload, serious lack of time, and uncertainty of where to even start. But I've also discovered a way to integrate homesteading into my modern busy life. If you're itching to kick off your homesteading journey on your terms, you're in the right spot. In each episode of this podcast, I'll be dishing out quick and straightforward homesteading tips, sharing home management systems, and providing modern solutions that fit seamlessly into your suburban lifestyle. Ready to turn your homesteading goals into a reality? Join me, and together we'll navigate the world of homesteading in a way that suits our lives. So grab that sourdough starter from the back of your fridge, girl. It's time to rise.
So this one might be kind of obvious, but I feel like people really don't talk about the price of soil because, oh my goodness, if you're filling raised beds, soil is ridiculously expensive. So this year I've decided that we have a couple small raised beds, but I'm actually mostly doing in-ground gardening, which I feel like is not the cool thing these days. I don't know what it is, but everyone and their mom have raised bed gardens, which is great. They are great. But holy moly, filling one of those raised bed gardens with good soil is super expensive. It's not bad years to come because you're only going to have to top off the soil and whatnot. But the soil does decrease pretty rapidly year after year. So you are going to have to amend that every year. So if you're in an area that actually has decent soil in your ground, where I believe that I do, it's pretty heavy in clay, I would say. But other than that, I mean, I've stuck some garlic in the ground this fall, not knowing what I was doing and just trying to get them in because I had them and I didn't have anything else prepared. I didn't have a garden bed prepared at all. Literally stuck these in the ground and they're totally grew just fine. Added nothing, never watered them, nothing. So that leads me to believe that I have pretty decent soil. And if you do too, I highly encourage you to look into some in-ground gardening. Now, of course, it's a lot harder for pest control. It's a lot harder for, you know, bugs, weeds, all that. So absolutely, raised bed gardening is superior for those reasons. But if you're looking for a cheaper way, which I am, but also just like going for the aesthetic of having different heights of different things, I'm doing some of the more sensitive vegetables and whatnot in the raised beds. And then I'm putting a lot of perennials in the ground, which leads me to my next thing that nobody talks about. And it's that a lot of perennials really should be in the ground. Not always, and it's going to depend on what you're doing. But if you have a perennial, especially that's good for your area, keeping it in the ground is going to be good for a lot of reasons. So Number one, it's probably good because if you live somewhere where it gets really cold in the winter, it's going to stay warmer in the ground than it would in a pot or in a raised bed. So it is, it's just more likely to survive and do well the next year. And that's what I learned actually from talking to someone at my local garden center, which you should absolutely do. It wasn't great. This person was very proud of their knowledge, but I understand that they came by it through many years of experience. So I took his advice and about my blueberries that I'm planting. So he told me it looks pretty in the containers and you keep seeing people do it in the containers, but you live in Ohio and it's probably going to get too cold in those containers for the blueberries over the winter. So put them in the ground. Of course, I had to amend the ground quite a bit. Blueberries like acid. So I made my soil as acidic as I could, and we will see what happens. I truly don't know. But another reason why you might want to consider not putting a perennial in a raised bed is because of that soil decreasing year after year. It, you know, sucks into the ground. It just, you're going to lose height, and then eventually you'll have to add a lot more soil on. And eventually you might have to actually dig out that whole perennial to add more soil, just depending on how low it gets and whatnot, and depending on what plant it is. So for me, almost all of my perennials, I'm going to be putting in the ground. We will see if this is a good idea or not. Obviously, I never lived in this area before, so this is all brand new, and I do have a lot of forest friends around. So it's going to be very interesting to see if the deer and the rabbits and everybody else enjoy my garden as much as I do. I'm expecting the first year to definitely be a little eaten up. So I have seen reels going around that people are starting to talk about the fact that if you're doing an organic garden with no pest control, it takes like 1 to 3 years for your garden to regulate. The first few years, you might think that you're totally failing because everything is getting eaten by bugs and wildlife. And that's just how it goes. So it definitely does take a few years. So don't be discouraged if this happens to you. And I'm telling myself this. Don't be discouraged if it happens to me this year. We will see. It's really, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting one. But yeah, so those perennials, putting them in the ground, I think is great. And then also, you don't want to like spoil them too much if they are native, which is excellent. So you can put in some soil amendments, but really, you want them to get used to your native environment. That's what natives are. They grow naturally in your area, so you don't have to keep buying all this stuff for them, which is fantastic. Like I said, the blueberries, I did have to add stuff. And I am growing strawberries this year in my green stock, so I didn't grow those in the ground because I didn't really want the strawberries laying on the ground. They can get eaten so easily if you don't catch it. Like as soon as it becomes ready to eat, you can definitely lose a lot of strawberries to bugs that way. So I chose to grow them in the green stock, which I can top off with soil each year. Strawberries will probably last a few years from what I can tell. I've never done strawberries before. So I'm just going to keep them year after year until they stop producing. But they probably will stop producing by the time I would have to completely redo the green stock totally with soil. Each year, I'll probably just top off with some compost or something like that. And speaking of compost and amendments, people don't talk about peat. And I'm not getting up on a high horse here on this. A lot of people have strong opinions about peat, but something that I had zero idea about, even though I kind of feel like I'm someone who's a little bit more knowledgeable on the eco-friendly and whatnot, I had no idea that peat is not great for the environment, and now I know. Now, I'm not knocking you if you use it, because it is everywhere. It is at every garden center that I've been to, and it was recommended to me by that man at the garden center who tends to know a lot. He has massive gardens, and he does very well with it, but I'm choosing not to use it. That's not to say I might not change my mind in the future if what I'm doing isn't working out this year. But for right now and this year, My raised beds are filled with just compost and a raised bed mix. And then I put sticks and leaves and things on the bottom as well. But I'm not using peat. So if you don't know what peat is, it comes from these bogs in Canada and Russia, Northern Asia. And the ones that we get are specifically from Canada. So one, it is getting shipped in from Canada, which no problem with that, but it's shipped from far away is kind of an issue with carbon emissions. But also, it's like in these bogs, and it takes like millions of years, I think it is. I'm not an expert on this. Millions of years to create. So people might say, oh, well, it's renewable. It regrows. Yes, but over millennia. So it's not really renewable, really. It's just not. And so also some people do say that it's really not actually great for garden beds because it can become hydrophobic pretty easily. So that's just something to consider. But when they're harvesting this, it actually releases a lot of carbon into the environment during the harvesting process. So all that being said, I'm not using it this year. If you're looking for some alternatives, you can use coconut coir, wood chips, compost, sand, pine bark. Any of those will pretty much do the same thing, and they're all better options. So I'm using the pine bark, like these little tiny shavings. It feels like soil, but just really light around my blueberries. I'm using compost for everything. I'm not using anything else this year. I am going to mulch on top, but I may consider in the future if I find that my stuff is holding on too much water, like adding a little bit of sand or something like that to the soil, because we do have that thick clay here. But the best way to learn is through experience, which is what I plan on doing. And the last thing I want to talk about, I actually made a reel about it this weekend, and I found that I am not the only person who is having this struggle. No one talks about how hard it is to remove grass. Oh my goodness. Of course, if you have like a tiller and a large area, this is not going to be near as hard, but I don't have one of those and I don't have that big of an area, so I'm not buying one. I'm doing it by hand and my whole body hurts. I guess that's another thing. People don't tell you that you need to get in shape before garden season because I'm a little out of shape and it's been a little rough and I still have not removed all the grass that I need to remove. I know you can smother it, but like I said, I want to use the good soil that I have. Every time I remove grass, it's just there's so many worms in there and stuff that I don't really want to just like cover the whole thing in cardboard, which I know will disintegrate with time and whatnot, but I want that stuff right away and I don't plan on adding that much topsoil to the top. So grass removal it is for me this year, and oh my goodness, I might wait for my husband to get back because I am in pain. And really, for me right now, I'm just wanting to do it so bad because it looks terrible with what I have going on, and I still have bags of soil that are just sitting there ready to be dumped out, and it's all an eyesore to me, and it's making me a little anxious. But truly, in that area, I'm planting tomatoes, which I cannot plant here yet. So there's no reason for me not to wait, but I'm just being very stubborn, which I think a lot of us gardeners are. So I would love to hear from you. Hop on over to our Facebook group and tell me if in your first major year gardening, there's anything that you learned that no one seems to be talking about. And I also just want to say thank you guys so much. We just hit 10,000 downloads, which is kind of a big deal for podcasts. People don't listen to podcasts as much as they, you know, watch YouTube videos and things. So 10,000 downloads is actually really, really good. And we just hit it. The show has been remaining in like the top 50 for home and garden in the United States, which is super cool. It changes all the time. It's just like daily charts. But all of this is absolutely amazing. So thank you so, so much for listening. I always also love your feedback. If you could leave me a written review, I would love to hear it. And that actually also, the reviews are like the number one way that the show stays on the charts and more people can find us. So I would love to grow our community here. If you've enjoyed the shows, please, please, wherever you're listening, you can leave a review. Apple Podcasts is the easiest. best way to do that, but anywhere, I'll take it all. I love it all. So thank you so, so much for being a part of the community, everybody. It's honestly shocking to me that people want to listen, but I'm so glad that we've found a group here of a lot of people who feel the same way about all of this homesteading stuff and natural living. And it's just so fun for me. So thank you so much. And I can't wait to chat with you all again soon. Until next time.
Hey, thank you so much for joining me on another episode of the Homestead Challenge podcast. I hope our time together has empowered you to take meaningful steps on your homesteading journey. If you've enjoyed our conversation and found value in today's tips, please take a moment to leave a review on your preferred podcast platform. Your feedback means the world to me, and it helps others discover the podcast. Let's keep the conversation going. Connect with me on Instagram. You can find me at Brittany L. Gibson. The link is in the show notes. Share your favorite takeaways from the episode, ask questions, or suggest topics of what you'd like to hear in the future. For an even deeper dive into the homesteading community, join our Facebook group where other suburban homesteading mamas share their experiences, ask questions, and support each other on their unique homesteading journeys. Just search for the Homestead Challenge community on Facebook and request to join. Remember, every small step on your homesteading path is a victory. Whether you're nurturing plants on your windowsill or mastering the art of sourdough, you're making a difference. Keep at it. Until next time, let's watch our homesteads flourish together.